This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Parsha. We have the complicated, difficult to understand story of Mechiras Yosef. Mechiras Yosef, we know, is something that stays with us throughout the Deiris. Asarugi Malchus was a kapara, was to forgive for the Mechiras Yosef. We mentioned the Asarugi Malchus on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur. It's a big event, a big cornerstone event in the history of Klal Yisrael. According to many Mefarshim, that's why we have to go down to Mitzrayim. And maybe all the Gullison are tied to it, and Mashiach eventually is tied to it. Yosef with Mashiach. There's so much which is tamun. It's hidden, based on Mechiras Yosef. But before we get to discuss Mechiras Yosef, I'd like to bring out a point. Now, when you read Mechiras Yosef, and when you read Mechiras Yosef, you see dark. You see almost brutal Midas Hadin. Brutal Midas Hadin. A young boy, 17 years of age. What did he do? He had a few dreams. He spoke to his brothers. Ultimate chayshich, darkness for a child to be sold by his own brothers, not knowing what the future will hold. We don't even understand what it means to be an eved. An eved means he almost had no rights. We don't understand even the concept of eved. Eved means that you are unexisting as a human being. An eved means kol ma shekan rabbi, kan ha'eved kan rabbi. There is no him. He is almost non-existent.
Nothing.
Doesn't exist. He is nothing. And this is in Torah standards. Eved Ivri, Eved Knani. Imagine by the world, by the goyim, what an eved. And here he's being sold to a country, Mitzrayim, as an eved. The ultimate choshech, the ultimate darkness, the ultimate midas hadin. Yet Chazal tell us something unique about a detail in the mechira, in the sale. And that is that normally Midyanim carry, I'm sorry, Yishmaelim bought him first, right?
Yeah.
The Midyanim bought him first. They took him outright. So normally Midyanim, they carry wax or zephes, tar. Here they carried Necha'os, Rashi says, Besamim. They carried good smelling things. Chazal tell us why the change. Normally the Midyanim carry with them in their caravans for sale things which are odor, full of odor. And here they were carrying different than normal. They were carrying the chais. Says Rashi that it was a schar that the Rabbeinu Shloilam wanted, that at that moment he should smell good things, he shouldn't smell bad things. Shloyariach, the tzaddik should smell good and shouldn't smell bad. The Mefarshim will ponder a question: how long was he in the hands of the Midyanim already? Moments. So what's the big deal? You didn't even have to travel with them. Moments, they switched hands. So who cares what they're carrying at those few moments? If you have to stay with them and be with them for a period of time, then you can understand the maila, that there was good smelling things instead of bad smelling things. But those few moments makes a difference. when they went from hand to hand from the Midianim to Yishmaelim. I mean, it's not a big deal. What they were carrying in the caravan had no effect really on Yosef at that moment. So there's many different pshatim, Bali Musar speak, that here we learn out the idea of one moment of schar. And that is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is medakdek, a cheshbon. You would say he's being sold. What could be worse? Yeah, but he didn't have to be sold, and at that moment to smell bid. He could have had something like a psalm from a Tzoy Shabbos that gave him chizuk. A one moment of smell that gave him chizuk. The point, everything has its cheshbon hameduktik. Yes, sold, he had to be sold. But at that moment, he didn't have to have the bad feeling of smelling something bad. The Ribbono Shel Olam, even when he punishes, and he shows me the sadin, it's betachlis hadikduk. So explained the Bali Musar. My Zayde Zechayner Levracha said a different pshat. My Zayde Zechayner Levracha said that the pshat is just like psalm and matzai Shabbos. It's at a moment where we're down. We have a feeling of depression, so to speak, that Shabbos is leaving, an atzvus. So at that moment, we smell something. Now, how long does that last already? How long does that, you're smelling for 1 second. Let's say you're a real religious person, or a Sfardi, or a Hasidisha, you'll smell it longer. Yeah, it's not another 2 seconds, all right? But it's seconds. The psalmim you smell is seconds. So what's the big deal? The week is coming. Unless you explain that the depression is a one-minute thing anyway. The atzvos, the bad feeling, maybe in general for Shabbos is a one-minute thing. It's not a whole week. The week come, but it's at that moment that the Shabbos is leaving and the weekday is coming, that's when you feel bad, maybe. So that moment of psalmim helps. I was thinking maybe that's the pshat, or it could be. No. And this is what my Zaydi is trying to mechadish and trying to explain, that actually the unhappy feeling is long term. Yet at the moment that it begins, the moment that the atzus sets in, there's an inyan, there's something special if you can get a chizuk, if you can get an uplifting. And the pshat is, the way Maizeda explains it, Yosef was given at that moment. It was a moment where he's now going to be sold. A moment of severe darkness and atzus. That the Ribbono Shel Olam was showing him that he's there. I understand my Zaydi to be saying that the children of Yaakov were trained to always understand why. What's the lesson? What's the Ribbono Shel Olam talks to us. How? Through little events. Through little things. So the Ribbono Shel Olam was talking to Yosef, Imei Anoichi B'tzar, I'm there with you. You're being sold, I'm going to be with you. How? By Yosef realizing, thinking, understanding, contemplating, why the switch, why the change, why is it that the Midyanim now are carrying good smells? It must be that the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving me a message. I'm there with you. A tzaddik, especially a child of Yaakov Avinu, was trained to ma'ayin, to see in Hashgacha Protus. What did the Eibishter want? Why? Why is it that way? It's Hashgacha. The Ribbono Shel Olam has a cheshbon. Oh, that means that the Ribbono Shel Olam is there trying to mechazik me when I'm being sold. Oh, that itself is the chizuk. The fact that I get the psalmim, 1 minute, yeah, but means that the Eibishter made it that way. To show me that he's there with me, to show me that he wants me to mechazik myself. That itself is the chizuk. You know, I think with this we can explain something beautiful. Rashi brings down mechois kol minei psamim. When they're put together, if you make a mixture of psalm, it's called mechois. And then he brings a pasuk in Micha, mechois. That's mixture. That's what Rashi says. Any mixture of psalm is called mechois. And he brings a pasuk in Micha to prove it. Then he says, "Va'umkul is tirgim shayva," that it's wax. So what does that mean? I mean, Chazal say that it was a good smell. So Unkelis is trying to say, but the translation is not that. The translation is shayva. It's actually wax. Mechais is wax. Chazal took it and said, you know, we also find that mechais means kol minei psamim. Mechais means kol minei psamim. So it happens to be here that it was mechais kol minei psamim. But the pashup shot is shayva. Now, does Rashi mean to say is that according to the pashup shot that never happened? That they didn't bring psamim? Maybe Rashi's trying to say, "I'll pshat, that's not really what happened. They brought wax." Or could be. Rashi's explaining the Ashgacha Pratis. Normally, Nechais means Shaiva. When you have someone putting a sign on his door, Nechais, selling Nechais, you should know he's selling wax. But since it could also be that Nechais has kol minei psamim like a pasik, so the Rabbi Yishon made that these Nechais sellers were selling psalmim. Rashi's not trying to say that the Unkelis' pshat is disagreeing with the Chazal's pshat. Maybe what Rashi's trying to say is that Unkelis' pshat is explaining the basis of the Chazal. Chazal is saying it was different. Why was it different? Because actually Nechais Mishayim, it means wax. And the fact that Yosef sees this, what do you mean? Midyanim sell wax. They sell nechais. No, they're not selling nechais. They're selling a different type of nechais. They're selling a whole different type of nechais. That's from Shemayim. And I'll explain to you what I have from this. You know, we find something very, very interesting. When Yaakov Avinu sends down his children to Mitzrayim to visit, to confront Yosef, to buy food. So he tells them, bring lo ish hazeh, bring the person Yosef. Also, kuitchem, take with you sweets, boitnim, shkedim, and nechais. It says there also, take with you nechais. I would have expected Rashi to explain nechais, like he explained over here. Sweets, good smells. I mean, that's what you bring a king. Well, what would you bring a king? He doesn't need anything. Yeah, but you bring him a candy and a box of chocolates and a good fragrance. Says Rashi, shayva, wax. Why are you bringing wax to the king of Mitzrayim? And why does Rashi not go with the pshat that he said in Parshas Vayeshev? It's unbelievable. Who sends wax to a king? Maybe you send paint also and some glue. I mean, well, who? What do you? You know, I have a present for you. I have some chalk. And I remember I had a Rebbe in fifth grade. He used to give out a present. If you knew the Gemara, he would cut a piece of chalk into six or seven pieces. And he would give you a piece of chalk, a piece of pickle, together. A piece of chalk and a piece of pickle. And he said, and another thing he would chop up into little pieces. You know, and that was your present. And we would live, you know, it's chalk, you know. Who chops up shayva, so to speak, wax, and gives it to a king? That's a present for a king. Wax? What's wax? What, Melech Mitzrayim doesn't have wax? Either you give gold, and if you don't want to give gold, you give sweets, you give candies. Why give shayva? Why does Rashi switch the pshat? Medachzach, I think, could be pshats like this. Yaakov Avinu, maybe he knew, maybe he didn't know. Maybe it was Baruch HaKodesh, maybe it was Siyata Nishmaya. Yaakov Avinu sends Nechais. He sends wax. Yosef gets it, and Yosef goes, wow, let's rewind 20 years. When I was sold to the Midyanim.
You knew, you didn't find out? You
But I no, I'm trying to tell you. Kubi was min hashamayim, hashkacha pratius. We do things. You think everything we do. He said, send wax. Who knows if he even understood why he's sending wax? The lesson was to Yosef. When Yosef gets the wax, wow, the Abish is with me. It's waking him up. Don't forget the Midyanim. They also sold me there was wax. And here it's coming, Lamaisa. Which means the fact that the Abish sent Nechais, good psalmim, when he was sold, it's now being Noisa Paris. Now it's giving its fruit. Because now, I'm Melech, my father's going to come to me. It was 20 years. You remember 20 years ago, the wax? But it wasn't wax, it was sweets. So the fact that Yaakov sends wax, he probably thinks to himself, Yosef, wax? Why are you sending me wax? Nechais. Ah, the wax, the Midyanim, they should have been carrying wax. Now I understand. Now I understand, you see? Now I realize that I rewind 20 years and I see that when the Rebbeinu Shloilem had me sold, there was Nechais. And the reason for this is in order I should realize that one day this will be the Poel Yotze. This will be the end result. That I will be the Melech and my father will come to me and all will turn out L'toyu. It's the root. He looks back now at the root, the Shoirish, the beginning. Oh, I was sold. There was Nechais in the story when I was sold. Oh, this is the end to that beginning. This is the end to that beginning. You know, Chazal tell us that there was a person, Nachum Ish Gamzu. And he would say, Gamzu L'Toyva. He had a chicken, he had a candle. The chicken ran away, the candle got blown out. The next day, he realized that there was Ganavim, murderers in the vicinity. Had he had the chicken and had he had the light, they would have killed him. Gamzul Taiva. So the world always understands that when the bad happens, you're supposed to say Gamzul Taiva. It's good. It's all for the good. What's the chidush? I mean, what's the chidush, God? Everything the Abish does is good. Of course, the Abish does for the good. It's a pasuk in Eicha. The Rebbeinu Shalom does everything for the good. So what was the chidush of Nachum Ish Gamzul? So my Zaydi used to say over from the Chafetz Chaim that Nachum Ish Gamzu went after the Yeshua and went looking back. Oh, you see? This good thing happened? Oh, it's because of this bad thing that happened. We always think Gamzu L'Toyva means that when something bad happens, you should say it's all for the good. That's not a chidush. That's not, it's not easy work. It's not an easy thing to do. But it's not a chidush. Yeah, of course Gamzu L'Toyva. Of course Gamzu L'Toyva. The chidush is that Nachum went after he saw the Yeshua, after he saw the good, the outcome. He went backwards to study the root, the Shoirish. Oh, you see this caused this Yeshua. The reason why I have salvation here is because this thing happened. And I would like to add to my Zaydi's words, Gamzu L'Toyva. You know what the difference between Zu and Ze is? Ze could mean a situation at whole. Zu usually means when I want to have a prat, when I want to have a particular incident. Specific, Zu, this one. Gamzu, not the whole thing is L'Toyva. I go back to look to see Gamzu, that even the details, every little detail that happened, is L'Toyva. You know, we say every day in davening, Zayrea Tzedakos, Matzmiach Yeshuas. What does it mean, Zayrea Tzedakos? And Matzmiach Yeshuas? And the answer is very simple, the way we're explaining beautifully. That the Rebbeinu Shloim is Zereya. He plants seeds. How many seeds do you plant? You don't plant one seed, you plant seeds. The seeds rot, they come together, a tree is grown, and from it comes a tree. Zerea, the Rebbein Shalom, plants little seeds all over the place. That's Zerea Tzedakos. From that, Matzmiach, the Yeshua. So a person is supposed to look back to see the Zerea Tzedakos. Every detail. You see this? This led to this, which led to that, which led to the Yeshua, which led to the salvation. This is called thanking and recognizing Hakaras HaTayim of the Rebbein Shalom. Zereya Tzedakos and understanding Matzmiach Yeshuas, which comes based on little tzedakos that Hashem plants. Gamzu, this plant, this little seed, the Gamzu, and this incident, that Litoiva brought the good. And when I look back, I say, here, you see, look at this detail, look at that detail. That's Gamzu Litoiva. And that's what Yosef was doing over here. Yosef, when he got the Nechois, when he got this wax, he thinks back and goes, oh, wait a minute, wax? Why am I getting wax? Who sends wax? Can you imagine a person sends candy, chocolate, and wax? Now, maybe in those days it was customary, I don't know. But today, I think, imagine you send the king, a president, a box of wax. Maybe light. Some say that it has to do with light. But it's a chidush. I mean, you told me a man that has, Aletzah was a special wax. I don't know. But could be the way we're learning, it's beautiful. Nechais was supposed to remind him of the Nechais when he was being sold. Which there the Eibishter made Nechais to mean Besamim. And here would have made sense to Besamim. That would have been something normal to send a king. A fragrance, a perfume, together with a delicious box of candies, with nuts. That makes sense. Wax. Unless it was, like I said, a special wax. In those days it was different. I don't know. Maybe it was a good smelling wax. I don't know. But the way we're learning, I do know that the pshat is that the Rebbein Shloim was giving him Gamzu L'Toyva lesson. To look back and to see the Toyva that the Rebbein Shloim, the Toyva that the Rebbein Shloim did for him years and years before. Gamzu L'Toyva. With this, Rabbi Isai, I would like to delve into Mechiras Yosef. Understanding that the Rebbein Shloim meant, so to speak, well. Rebbein Shloim's intent was chesed in the Mechiras Yosef. He was there with every step of the way. He was there to uplift and to be mechazik Yosef. What was Mechiras Yosef about? What was it about, so to speak, Baha'i Alma, the brothers? What was it all about between the brothers? And what was it, Alma, the Kshayt, in the world of the Rebbein Shloim? Why did Rebbein Shloim need this? Why was it destined from the Rebbein Shloim such a story as Mechiras Yosef? Now, we all know there's such a thing as a Bechira, I understand. But the Chaloim is that caused the sinna, the kinna, was from the Rebbein Shloim, the Chaloims, the dreams. Va'aviv Shama v'sadavar, the Briskerov learns it was Nevuah. So why did the Rebbein Shloim want Mechiras Yosef to come to fruition? Why did the Rebbein Shloim want there should be a kinna and a sinna and a story and it turned into... What's behind Mechiras Yosef? You're right, the brothers... It was kinna behind Mechiras Yosef. But mitzad chushma derachmana, even though it's not our business, chushma derachmana, but to understand what's the pshat Mechiras Yosef, what's the lessons that the Eibishter wanted us to take from Mechiras Yosef, I'd like to say the following. The famous question that everybody speaks about, I mean, how could it be that there's a taina, complaint against the Shvatim that they sold Yosef? If they paskin the halacha, they didn't just do it. They sat down with a bezin and they were paskin that he's chayiv. And to make things more difficult, the Rebbein Shloim was the 10th one on the bezin that agreed. So what could be the complaint? And what's the whole story? That's Sarugi Malchus. I mean, what's... The Rebbeinu Shlom said it was right. He was also part of it. We all know the famous Goyin, that the Goyin explains, Asiriya Kodesh Lashem, that the 10th, we know there was only 9 people who sold. So how could there be Asar Arugim Malchus? So the Goyin says, because the Eibusha was part of the Mechira. So Rebbeinu Shlom needs someone to be instead of him, to represent him in the Kapar of Asar Arugim Malchus. Who was it, says the Goyin? Rav Akiva. Because Rav Akiva used to be Doirish, every S, including S Hashem Elokecha Tira. Shimon HaTimani said you can't be Doirish S Hashem Elokecha Tira, because you can't add anything. You only have to fear Hashem. Comes Rav Akiva, and he says S means the Talmud Chacham. Why? Because the Talmud Chacham represents the Rebbeinu Shloim. If the Talmud Chacham represents the Rebbeinu Shloim, so you'll be representing the Rebbeinu Shlomo, you'll be Vasiriya Kodesh. That's what he says, Pshat, the Pasuk, in the end of the, by the Parash of Meiser, it says, Kol HaShayavar, Tachas HaShavet, Vasiriya Kodesh Hashem. What is the Pasuk referring to? They used to take the sheeps, 9, and smack them, Shavet, right? It's a stick. And they would pierce the stick. And the 10th one, would get a smack with a color, and he was number 10. Okay, so Yavar, they would pass under the shavet, and the 10th one would get the hit, and he would be Kodesh Lashem. Says the Gra that it's referring to Asar Arugim Malchus. Kol Asher Yavar, the 9 is Tachas HaShavet for the Shvatim. Vo'asiri, the 10th one, is Kodesh Lashem. It's for the Rebbeinu Shlomo. So Rabbi Akiva represents the L'chairus. So what's the whole story if the Eibishter wanted it? How could there be a taina complaint against the Avos, the Shvatim, that there was a Mechiras Yais? I'd like to give a pshat as follows, Rabbi Yisrael. You know, I think we have to go down to the root of understanding what is Klal Yisrael. What is Klal Yisrael? What is Shiftei Ka? What is it? Klal Yisrael is called Yeshurun. Shiftei Ka. Slach, Mechal, the oven of Yeshurun. Shiftei Ka. Right? What are Shiftei Ka? What is it? What is Klal Yisrael? So if you notice, we don't call it Am Yisrael. We're not really called so much Am Yisrael. Maybe the songs they used to, they Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, but it's not really, we're called Klal Yisrael. You know the difference between Am and Klal? I'll tell you the difference. Am Yisrael is a full nation. In every nation, you lose people. Here, take a look. America went to war in Iraq. They lost a few thousand soldiers, right? It's normal. America continues, right? You lose a few people. That's if it's an Am. An Am means the sum, you know, the peoples. Klal is a whole different word. Klal means when you take pratim and you put them together, all the pratim make up the klal. Klal uprat, right? Ein beklal el mashbe prat, ein beprat mashbe klal. It's all the structure, the makeup of the klal is all the pratim. If you miss one prat, then it becomes a problem. It becomes shiyatzim in a klal. Kol dover shayi bechlal v'yatzim in a klal. It's not supposed to be that way. You can't have one thing which is yatzim in a klal, because the klal is the sum total of all the pratim. Klal Yisrael is the same way. Klal Yisrael isn't that they have, for example, 12 shvatim. It doesn't work that way. It's one. And the one is the full complete 12 make up one. Just to make it easy for you to understand. You ever buy a box of eggs? A box of eggs is 12. When you buy the box of eggs and it's missing one, it's not a box of eggs anymore, right? Yeah, but there's single eggs. There's 12 eggs in this. I bought 11 eggs. No, it's not a box, right? A box means 12. And if one is missing from the box, if you come and talk about numbers, 12, okay, so there's 11. But when you talk a box, it doesn't make up the box. That's the way it is. In last week's parasha Vayetze, we learned that Yaakov Avinu questioned, will he make Shvatim? When he took the stone under his head, Chazal, the Medrash says that it wasn't for protection. Rashi says it was for protection. Chazal say that it was more to question, to prove, will he be Maimed Shvatim? So he took one stone, I'm sorry, he took 12 stones, and it turned into one. So I always ask, if you want to see you'll be Maimed 12 Shvatim, take one, and see if it splits into 12. You want to make a mashal, an example. So take the example. You're one, well, you turn into 12 children, right? Why does he take 12 stones and see if it turns into one? And the answer is, because we didn't turn into 12. Shvatim means 12, which turns into one. And if it's not 12 that turns into one, it's not Shvatim. It's not one that turns into 12.
Nefesh Yaakov.
It's 12. 12 that turns into one. You know, Rabbi Isai, that's called Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael means that all the Pratim make up Klal. You notice in this week's parasha, when Yosef is missing, Yaakov refuses to take comfort. Rashi says why? Because Kabbalah, he had a Kabbalah that if any of his children die in his life, he's not going to Gan Eden. Why? I mean, if the opposite, a person loses a child, he should feel bad for Karet. If he still worships Hashem, he should go to Gan Eden. The more the reason he should go to Gan Eden. He had Yisurim and he was a tzaddik. What do you want from him? Why would someone who lost a child not go to Gan Eden? What does that mean? And the answer is because Yaakov Avinu's tafkid was to produce Klal Yisrael. That was his goal. That was what he came to the world for. If one would be missing, it's not Klal Yisrael. That's it. Shifteka had to be 12. If one is missing, it doesn't mean one is missing. It means that it's all missing. Then the whole Klal Yisrael ceases to exist. I believe that that's the pshat. Kabbalah. What does it mean, Kabbalah? Kabbalah means he was known by Messiah, that his job was 12 Shvatim, which was one. And in case one is missing, nothing. He didn't do his tafkid b'chayim, and he's not roi p'nei Gan Eden. He didn't do his tafkid. You know, in the beginning of the parish, it says, Ela told us Yaakov Yosef. Everybody asks, told us Yaakov is Yosef, that's all? And Rashi gives different pshatim. He adds, it's true, but the ikker and the main, and then, so what's wrong if you bring out that Yaakov and Yosef are the same by not blocking out the rest of the Shvatim? I mean, why do you have to block out the rest of the Shvatim to say that Yaakov was the main? You want to say Yaakov and Yosef are very much alike? So say it, but not that they don't. I mean, a person has 12 children. It's not his children. We don't mention them because one of them is more like the father than him, but it's still 12 children. Now, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu's children are not mentioned in the Torah. Uneventful, says the Chasam Sofer. We don't have much about them because they didn't, so to speak, make it big. There wasn't much to talk about them. Don't tell me there's not much to talk about Reuven and Shimon and Levi and Yehuda. They were giants. They were Gedolei Ha'umah. They were the giants of our nation. So why, when we mention Yaakov's children, we elude them? But what does it mean? You want to bring out that Yosef is very much like his father. Fine, there's ways how to do it. So say Yosef is like his father. You don't have to ignore the other Shvatim because of that. We don't have to block them out like they don't exist. You know, I would say the Peshat is like this. You know what told us Yaakov is Yosef. It's all about Yosef. If Yosef is with them, then it's told us Yaakov. What was going to be with Yosef is going to make it or break it if it's told us Yaakov. What was going to be with Yosef is going to be, is there told us Yaakov or there's no told us Yaakov? The dependent on Yosef. If Yosef becomes united with the brothers, which ended up happening, later on, Yehuda comes and he's Masakin, he fixes it with Binyamin, and he shows that he cares about the brotherhood, and he goes to Yosef, yes. Then we're talking about Shiftei Ka. And around Yaakov's bed, they could say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Elokeinu, Avinu, Yaakov, we're all with you. Complete. Mitasei Shleima, complete. Yaakov's bed was complete. That's what it means. Mitasei Shleima, his bed was complete. You know why? If he had 12 Shvatim, his bed is complete. If he doesn't have 12 Shvatim, his bed is not complete. 9, 10, or 11 means there's nothing there. Eila told us Yaakov, it's Yosef. Yosef is the mechaber. He's the one that puts together. He's the one that makes joined that the told us Yaakov should be told us Yaakov. You know, it says in the Rashi that the Iker why Yaakov worked was for Rachel. That's what Rashi says. That's why Eli told us Yaakov is Yosef. Because he worked for Rachel, so that's it. That's the Iker now is Yaakov. Is Yosef because he worked for... What does it mean? Why is the Iker Yosef because he worked for Rachel? He worked for Leah Tulamaisa. So what's... No, the Iker why? The Chalatzmai and his whole being was only for to marry Rachel. He was married to Leah too. You know what it means? Maral tells us that Rachel was called Akeres Habayis. You know what Akeres Habayis means, says the Maral? It's that she was the one who was in charge. It was her duty to keep the home intact. And Akeres Habayis keeps the home united and not divided. Rachel's job was, Rachel's tafkid, Rachel's avoida was Akeres Habayis, to keep the home together. That's what an Akeres Habayis, to keep the home together. Yosef, and therefore Yosef becomes the story of keeping the house together or not keeping the house together. That becomes the story now. Shekol Iker, his whole avoida was for Rachel because he had to be bein of the Shvatim. So Rachel was the one that kept it together, and without that, we don't have Shvatim. Leah could have had 5, and Bilhah could have 2, and Zilpah could have 2, without Rachel, who glues it together, so to speak. Without Rachel, which unites it together, without Rachel that unites it together, we don't have Shvatim. We don't have Klal Yisrael. And that's Eilat Toldos Yaakov. Is Yosef. And that's why from Rachel becomes the Safik, from Rachel becomes the Nisayin, that's the right word, Nisayin, the test of the Achdus. The test of the Achdus comes from Rachel's children, because Rachel was about Me'achid, it's about uniting the home. Okay. With this Rabbeisai, I understand not only the Eilat Toldos Yaakov Yosef. The pshat is that the toldos of Yaakov, which means the Shvatim, is it revolves around Yosef, which was the avoda was to keep it together, to glue it together. Now I understand the whole union of Melech that we find in this parsha. I mean, why is it Yosef has to be the Melech? What Melech? Now the truth is, maybe it has to do with future. It has nothing to do with now. But it's mashma that Yaakov made Yosef the Melech. If you look, it says that he made him a Ksainis Pasim. What is a Ksainis Pasim? So Rashi learns Ksainis Pasim is one, it's about the Tsaris that he went through. Chaf, Taf, Soines, Nun. It has to do with Paitiferah, all the different Tsaris that he went through. Why would Yaakov do that? What's the Ksainis Pasim? I mean, it's... Imagine, well, I hear a person has a itzla de rabbonon. He wears a rabbonish coat. There's a lot of tzaris that goes with the coat. There's a lot of stories of difficulty and nisyonis that goes with this coat. But al kol panim, what does it mean kipshutai? He gives him a coat, and the coat has in it all the tzaras. Paitifera, right? You remember the Rashi? Paitifera, tzara. Each thing resembles another tzara. Why? And what does it mean? So I'd like to explain the whole Indian of the Ksoinis Pasim, and then I'll explain to you what's the pshat in Melech, that he makes him a Melech. Why is he making Yosef a Melech? What do you need a Melech? You have 12 brothers, you need a Melech? Can you imagine a person has a house with a few children, and he says, you'll be the Melech over the fair. What? It's it's just disaster. It's a recipe for disaster, as they say in English. Well, what are you doing, Yaakov? Well, what did you think already? Now, could be it has to do with the future. I agree with that. But why now? Why make it that he should walk around like he's a Melech? I want to tell you even how far it goes. You know, it says that Yosef was Mesalsel Basare. He played with his hair, and it's complicated to understand. I mean, who plays with his hair? I mean, a hair? Especially Yosef was definitely a good Hasidic Yid. What kind of hair did he have? What's he talking about, right? Where hair? What kind of hair could he have? And the answer could be, you know, the Gemara says that a Kohen Gadol takes a haircut once a week. A Kohen Hedya takes a haircut once a month. A Melech takes a haircut every single day. Why? Melech b'yoyfi techzenei necha. It's Gemara in Sanhedrin, at the end of the second Perik. You're supposed to see him in beauty. It was a special hairdo. You know, a Melech had a special hairdo. And it was, the hairs, it was to one way, and it's like a crew cut, a very special haircut he had. Melech b'yoyfi techzenei necha. So that's the pshat. Yosef was a Mesalsel Basari. You know why? He was a Melech. He had to have beautiful hair. And he walked around with his, because he wanted the brothers to see him beautiful. And Ksoinis Pasim is the same thing as Big Day Malchus. He needed Big Day Malchus. Now it's interesting, the Kliyaka learns that Ksoinis Pasim was Big Day Kahuna. Since he was the Bechar, so he had the Kahuna, the Kohen Gadol. So he had Big Day Kahuna. But the way the Sipurna seems to learn, he made him Big Day Shrora. Yeah, he made him Big Day Shrora. Yeah? Big Day Shrora, Babai Yisu Basada, for the house and for this field. Why would he do that? And what, first of all, what does the Bechlal mean, Babai Yisu Basada? So I'd like to sidetrack for a moment. I want to say a pshat like this. You know what a Melech is? A Melech doesn't have to have a nation under him to be a Melech. The Gemara says, Man Malchi Rabbanan. Who are Melechim? The Rabbanan. It says that Klal Yisrael, B'nai Melachim, were considered. It says that when a person comes to Shemayim, they could ask him, Himlachtas Chavercha B'diburecha, did you treat your friend like a Melech? So it's a Medrash, it's a Chazal. Like a Melech? I have to treat him like a Melech? Yeah, every Jew is almost in the reign of a Melech. What is a Melech? What kind of Melech? My Malchi Rabbanan, as the Alter Rebbe Kellum would say, where's the palace? Which Rabbanan live in a palace?
That's the palace.
And the answer is, my Malchi Rabbanan is not over who, but who you are. A Melech is who he is, and that is Moishel Al-Atzmai. Al-Kein Yoimru Al-Moishlim, Shemoishlim Berucham. A Melech is a person who has self-control over himself. Shleim HaMelech, the Gemara says that he had a makel, a stick. He was a big king, but Lipsoif LeMelech Ela Makel. At the end, he was only a king on his stick.
I understand that.
Well, how could that be? It says they did an Averis. This one Gemara says that he was Chazar. He got back all the country. And one Mandoma says no, that he didn't get it back. He did an Averis with the wives, with the horses, the whole business. So what does it mean, Malach HaMakli? How could a person be a king over a stick? If you don't have people, you're not a king over your stick. You're nothing. And the answer is, say Bali Musar, that's not true. The Melech of who you are always will be. You just don't have the people, so you're Melech HaMakli. But a Melech is who you are, not over who you rule. This Rabbeisai is the pshat. He gave him Big Day Shrora, Babayis Ubasoda. What's bias? Clothing of royalty? And the answer is shrara. Liyos kalish shayir bevesai. You know what shrara means? Rule. To lead. To be the boss, so to speak. To be able to be a moshel on yourself. Babayis. Ubasada. Yosef needed... Yosef went through a lot of nisyonos. Sai in the house with Poitifera. Sai in the sada in the outside of Mitzrayim. So he gave them big day malchus. Royalty clothing. Royalty that you're moshel. That you're able to be the moshel on yourself. And that's what Rashi means, that it all resembled and it all had a simen for all the tzaras that he went through. Because the begadim of Malchus were to give him the gvura, the strength and the chizuk to overcome all his tzaras. Big day Malchus was that he made him a melech over his tzaras. He gave him rulership, kingdomship over his tzaras, that he should be able to what? To rule over it. He should be able to be moishel on it. They shouldn't get the better of him, and he should rather conquer it.
Control
the matziv. He should be able to conquer the matziv. Not that the matziv should defeat him, but that he should conquer and win the matziv. That's pshat big day shrara. He gave him ksoin as possible with all the tzaras that were... that he had to go through in life, were embalmed, they were hidden, they were part of the begadim, because this was his avodah, to be moishel, to be v'yosef, moishel. What is moishel? Like it says in the pasuk, v'yosef, hu ha-moishel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, Bali Musar say, he was moishel on himself, even though he was in Eretz Mitzrayim. The Yosef who am Moishel, b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, he was Moishel on himself. He controlled his Yetzirah, even though he was b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. But I think it's deeper. The inyan of the Malchus, I think, is deeper. Why would Yaakov Avinu make a Melech from the Shvatim? I mean, why? It's just a Yehuda's the Melech. It's just a formula for disaster. It's a machloikis in the making. What kind of a business? What's the point of it? What would be the point of making a melech from within the family? There's an interesting pasuk, Rabbi Yisrael. Pasuk says, "Ahi b'shul melech b'sasei v'rosh yom yachad shifte Yisrael." Yeshur melech. It's the announcement of the king. When does the king get announced in glory? B'sasei v'rosh yom, yachad shiftei Yisrael. When they come together, the shiftei Yisrael. A melech is to unite the people. The avoida, the tafkid of a melech is to unite. As a matter of fact, I mean, even the goyim use a expression, one nation united under God. It's an expression. Rabbi Yisrael is a melech. So we're united underneath him, because the subjects become united under the melech. The whole inyan of Malchus, why do we have a melech b'Yisrael, is to represent the Eibishter. Originally we wouldn't need a melech. Originally we were able to go directly to the melech Malchei Amlachim. But times changed and people needed a mediator a little bit, something in the middle. So Rabbi Yisrael said, okay, fine, take a melech. But the melech is representing Malchus the Rakia, the Rabbi Hashem's Malchus. And the point of the Melech is Bishurin Melech, Bisasif Rosh Yom, Yachad, to put the Shiftei Yisrael together. So Yankim Avinu, knowing that the Shvatim must unite from 12-1, he makes a Melech in the family. He appoints a Melech thinking that the point of Malchus is to unite. You know, in the first dream that he has, Yosef. V'hine anachnu ma'almim alumim. We together are being ma'al malumim. V'hine kam alumasi v'gam nitzava. He doesn't even speak about Malchus. I stand up from within. And what happens? Saviv. It says that the alumim went, what? Around him. V'hine sisuben alumoy seichem. Batishtachavenu. You know what sisubenu means? Like in a circle.
Yeah, the good circle.
You know what a circle is? It's achdus. The Shlosh speaks about it by Simchas Torah. Why do we dance in a circle? The Goyin also speaks this concept. A circle means everyone's the same. Hand in hand. Achdus. Around what? Around Yosef. The idea of the Malchus, Rabbi Isai, is Achdus. Behine Sisubena Lumoisechem. Sisubena is Malchus. Malchus is Sisubena, which means to have the people that they should be Mesoivev equally. There's no one bigger than the other when you have a circle, right? Everybody sees it the same. It's the same distance from each person to the Melech. And they're united. That's the inyan of Sisubena Lumoisechem. Malchus means Achdus. And that's why the brothers had tainus. If the whole thing is you're supposed to make achdus, you're not making achdus. You're bringing dibasim ra'al aviyam. You're ruining it. And I'd like to talk about this. If you notice, it says clearly, and the pasuk emphasized that what was Yosef's big thing that he was involved with? To be mekarev the b'nei ashvachas. V'hu nar as b'nei bilav as b'nei zilpa nishay aviv. Because the other shvatim would call them shvachas. And he went and said, no, they're nishay aviv. You know why he was busy with that? You know why he was in Yiddish akbar hangetan in them? Because he was the melech. He was the melech. And since he was the melech, his job was to unite. Even the telling of the dreams, Rabbi Isai. You know the telling of the dreams? My Rebbeim used to tell us, the Gemara tells us in Brachas, who do you tell over your dreams to? Only your friends, people you love. You don't tell it to people who hate you, because they'll come and interpret it not good. So he would come and go and say, Shimuna achalayim azeh asher chalamti, please, I'm telling it to you because I love you. He was trying to win them over. He was trying to make sure that there was achdus. And they saw the opposite. They saw dibasim ra'al aviyam. Why did they see it? They said, what are you bringing? And he meant it because he wanted to fix them. He brought the dibasim ra'al because he tried to fix them. And they saw this, but you're making pirut. Your job as a melech is to make achdus. They didn't care so much that he's the melech. But they disagreed. If this is the malchus, you're not doing it. You're making machloikis. If the malchus is done right, to make achdus, it's good. If you're humble with the malchus, then it's good. Shaul was very humble. He was the first melech. It was nechpal akelim. But if you're not humble, and you're making machloikis, what kind of melech? Al chalamoisov al dvarov. It bothered him. It bothered Shvatim that he goes around acting like the king, yet he makes machloikis. Al dvarov, what are you doing? You know, Chazal tell us, that he told about the brothers that they ate Avim and Achai, and they did Arayis. I think they did Avim and Achai. Arayis. So there's a process, Drachim, that discusses Avim and Achai, Ben Noyach, if they had a din of a Yid, if a din of a Goy. There's a lot of Yeshiva Shatayra to explain, how did they do Avim and Achai? How can such a thing be? But there's an interesting Shlah. The Shlah says they didn't really do Avim and Achai. The Shlosh says that they used the Sefer Yetzirah to create a behemah, and from that they ate Avim and Achai, and there's no Isser. It says in the Shlosh. Shlosh says they went and they took the Sefer Yetzirah and they created women. It looked like Arayis, it wasn't Arayis. Could you explain to me why they need to do that? You know, in America, we have a tremendous Yetzahara to be near Kechalagayim. So what do? We can't have cheeseburgers, right? You can't have shrimp. You can't. So what do? Part of the cheeseburgers. Imitation shrimp. You think that the Ovis, you think that the Shvatim needed Avim and Achai, they couldn't. No, we need Avim and Achai. So what do? We make Sefer Yetzirah Avim and Achai. Well, what is it? It's a chidush nifla. So what does the Shlom mean? Why would they do that? Why would they use Sefer Yetzirah to make Avim and Achai? Bishleim and Avram Avinu's house, he wanted to serve them basar b'chalav. Maybe because he wanted to catch them. Maybe he wanted to catch them. Like this later on when we got the Torah. You ate basar b'chalav. Right? That's what it says in the Mefarshim. They try to catch them. Ilam ice, it's asr. So he did it through Sefer Yetzirah, which really wasn't basar b'chalav. Malbim. Malbim says it wasn't really because it was through Sefer Yetzirah that he created the animal. But if over here you want to eat Avim and Achai so much that you have to go and create a behemoth so you can eat Avim and Achai, you need a cheeseburger so you have to make power of a cheeseburger. Well, what are you doing? Teretz Chabaisa is, they acted in a way which was suspicious to see how he, Yosef, will judge them. Tell me, if you want to eat Avim and Achai, it had to be in front of Yosef. You know it's causing trouble. He's going back to your father saying, you do it, so don't do it in front of him. They were testing him. I hold this emes lamita. They were testing him to see, will he be danim lekaf schus or lekaf chayim? Will he be danim lekaf schus or lekaf chayim? When he went back and told the father, oh, you see, why wasn't he danim lekaf schus? He's not the melech. A melech is to be down lekaf schus. A melech is to make achdus be Yisrael. You know, the pasuk says, "V'hu nar is b'nei bilav is b'nei zilpa." Yeah? And then it says, "Vayovi is the basim ra'al avim." What's the connection? So Rashi and the Chizkuni argue, who is the dibasim ra? Who did they bring dibasim ra? So the Chizkuni learns it's going back on the b'nei bilav b'nei zilpa. Who nair is b'nei bilav is b'nei zilpa, and vayavi is the bosom of the b'nei bilav and b'nei zilpa. He was good with them, yet he took their bad stories and went back and told it to the parents, to the father. Why? So you could say pashit, he tainted, I love you. Look, I'm close with you. So I mean l'toiv, I mean you're good. That's what the pasuk means. Who nair is b'nei bilav is b'nei zilpa. So he felt that he could be Vayomi is the bosom. He felt that there was no problem if he brings the bosom Ra'al Aviyah. But if you learn that the pshat is that it's going back on the B'nai Leia, Vayomi is the bosom of the other Shvatim, like Rashi learns, so what's the connection of the pasuk? For who nar is B'nai Bilav is B'nai Zilpa, Vayomi is the bosom Ra'al of the B'nai Leia. I mean, how does the pasuk put together? So Rashi learns that that's part of what he said, that they're not machshiv, the B'nai Bil of B'nai Zilpa. They call them shvachis. That was the second thing in the Rashi. Rashi says they eat Avim and Achai. They don't treat the B'nai Ashvachis properly. So that's the connection. Muna is B'nai Bil of B'nai Zilpa. So what does that have to do with the Dibara? That's the Dibara, that they're not treating the B'nai Ashvachis properly. Yeah, good? I would say another pshat. You know what they were saying? You're contradicting. You're a stira. On one hand, v'hu nair is b'nei bilav is b'nei zilpa, because you're tiny, you're the melech, you have to make achdus. How come us, you not don't treat that way? If you're coming with a complaint that we're not treating them properly, but you're not treating us properly, you're not being miachin us, you're being speaking against us, v'hu nair as b'nei bilav is b'nei zilpa? So you're contradicting. You're a stira. Why are you bringing the Basim Ra'al Aviyah? This is the shoyrish of the Machloikis. They were saying, if you meant L'shem Shemayim,
why you do
that? So why the Basim Ra'al? Why are you speaking against us? You're saying, I have to go and build up the B'nai Ashvachas because they're being not treated properly. And us you treat properly, you're being maybe the Basim Ra'al Aviyah. That's the pasuk connects the two. V'hu nar is B'nai Bilah. Yet he turns around by obviously Basim Ra'al Aviyah, and Mela, they hated him for this. Because if he was Taka Yidizakman Oiska, he was Taka Shavin, if he was Taka Oiska Cheshman properly, then he Taka was good to the B'nai Ashvachas, and he was good to us also, okay, then he's a Melech. But this is a Simon that he's not really the Melech. How could it be that if them he treats properly, and he fights for them? He fights to be miachid, to make them achdus. And for us, the opposite, the basim ra'al aviyah. But this Rabbeisai, I think I can understand the second dream also. The second dream was the stars and the moon and the right, Mishtachemim Li. The first one was Mal Malumim Sisu Ben Alumay Seichem, but they didn't accept it. They started hating him. So then it becomes that they're Yereach and Shemesh, Machloikas. The first Machloikas, Rabbi Yisrael, was between the Shemesh and the Yereach. The stars also are completely divided. No stars even within the same vicinity as another. People think stars are hundreds of miles apart. As a matter of fact, he once said that's the Pshat. Klal Yisrael is compared to the stars, yet they're also compared to the Kechel Hayam, the sand. So Bishlam, you compare someone to the stars, it's beautiful. Stars, beautiful. Why would you pay on sand, mud? So we set up shop like this. The stars stand by itself. Each one has a name. Everyone has a name and a number. Tommy, could you count the numbers of the sand? No. Sand has a Mayrdik and Maila. Now when it unites together, it withstands the oceans. The strongest storming of the ocean, storming of the waves of the ocean. You have any idea how strong the wave of the ocean is? How much power? How much strength it has? It holds up the ocean when it unites. Chayil has a Mayrdik and Maila. When it becomes one, it has a tremendous Kaycha. So Klal Yisrael is like the stars, that each one is individually chashiv, yet their koiches come when they are what? Kechayil hayom, like the sand of the ocean. This Rabbi says the second dream. The second dream all of a sudden is the Areyach and the Levana and the Kechavim. It's not anymore Hine Anachnu. It's not anymore that they're Mesubiv, Saviv. It's now worlds by itself. The side of the Machloikis, the Doris, based on Yosef's thing. With this Rabbeisa, I want to say pshat to answer the original kasha that we asked. I asked you if the Eibishter was with the Mechira and they felt the Mechira was la'alacha, so what's the complaint that they sold Yosef? And the Teretz is like this, Rabbeisa. Yosef the Prat, Yosef the individual was chayiv. Yosef the individual was chayiv. But there was a different, so to speak, sugya that had to be dealt with. How about Yosef, which together with the rest of us make up Klal Yisrael? You're right, in Yosef the Yachid, he was Chayef. But then there's Yosef the Yud Beis Shvatim. And that they should have overlooked what the Yosef the Prat did, because they know that Yosef the Prat was needed for Yosef the Klal, for Klal Yisrael. I think that's what Yehuda means. Ma betza ki narig es achinu v'chisinu es damai. He's achinu b'sareinu v'yad al tia boy ki achinu b'sareinu. What is achinu b'sareinu? All of a sudden they just woke up. He's achinu b'sareinu. What does b'sareinu mean? You know what the pshat is, Rabbi? We spoke many times. Klal Yisrael isn't different gufim even. Klal Yisrael is not me and you. It's me, you is the same. It's all the same thing. Like a hand and a foot. Klal Yisrael is, one is a hand, the other one's a foot, and it's one body. Atem kruim adam, vein akum kari adam. I've told you many times that the goyim said, what do you mean? What? Goyim are not called adam. And they took the shas and they wanted to ban it in Russia because of this. So they had a din Torah. They had a court, a Russian fiasco. You know, Russia, some of the court cases were a joke. But a court case, you hear, against the Shas. And the Charkova went and defended this member of Chazal, Atam Kriyim Adam. You are called Adam One. Which means when a Jew hears another Jew is sick, he doesn't even know him. Oh, he feels bad. What does that have to do with you? And the answer is, you're Adam, you're one person. So you can imagine the hand tells the foot, I have nothing to do with my foot, so my foot doesn't feel well, but I feel well. Yet I have a hand say, my hand says, I feel very good. My foot's what to do with me. Tembel. It's all the same, right? You're Adam, you're one person. Ki achinu. You're right, maybe he's chai, but achinu b'sareinu. Bisareinu, it's one entity. The Yud Bei Shvatim need to be one. It needs to be Echad. With this, I think we could also explain later on when they do the tshuva, so to speak, when they metake, when they fix, when the mesaken the chet, it says that Yosef gave them a lot of tzaris, right? He locks up Shimon and the whole business. Aval Hashem Manachnu. They finally start to realize that they're guilty. Alochinu. Ashereinu b'tzaras nafshi b'schana eleinu v'leishamana. What's Alochinu? They can't say his name. Imagine three, four brothers talk. They say, you know, it's about our brother. Say, it's about Yosef. What do you mean? So it could be they couldn't say his name. I always think to myself, the sinner was so, you know, it wasn't finished. Brother, our brother. You know, they couldn't say Yosef. But I don't know. It's hard to say. By this time already, they couldn't. It says it's mashman that they already loved Yosef. I would have said a different word. I would have said, it's not about Yosef anymore. We made a mistake, Alachinu. We didn't make a mistake. About Yosef, we were right. The Yosef was chayiv, but the Achinu. You know, the way I explain it all the time is, they understood the inyan of Ish Echad. So you know what they figured? We'll sell him, so he'll still be alive. We could sell him, he'll still be alive. So we'll have 12 Shvatim. And the answer is, that's not called 12 Shvatim, because the Ish Echad is there, if he's alive. But the B'leiv Echad is not there. Klal Yisrael doesn't mean Ki'ish Echad alone. It's Ki'ish Echad, B'leiv Echad. So they thought, let's not kill him. Ki'ish Echad, we need him. We need 12. Okay, so we'll sell him as an Eved. But that's not B'leiv Echad. Klal Yisrael needs 12, not as 12 Ki'ish Echad, 12 bodies, but it has to unite as B'leiv Echad. And that they didn't understand. Till later. Aval Hashem Anachnu, Alochinu. And I'd like to add, it says, Bishanna Eleinu, V'leishamana B'kayla. He begged to us. Rashi, Chazal say, he went under the feet of his brothers, and he started saying, I'm your brother, I'm your brother. What's the pshat? So I always understood, don't do it to me. Now I am starting to understand that he was saying, don't do it for you. I'm not saying, don't do it for me. Bishaninoi Eleinu. It's not Bishaninoi. He didn't just beg for his life. He begged us that we shouldn't do it because we're his brother. Not don't do it to me because I'm your brother. You don't do it because I'm your brother. And you need me as much as I need you. Because Yud Bei Shvatim means that's Bishaninoi Eleinu. With this, I'd like to explain the inyan of Asara Rugi Malchus. Twice a year we say Asara Rugi Malchus. We say it by Tisha B'Av, and we say it on Yom Kippur. And I went to look to understand, why do we mention Asara Rugi Malchus by Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur? So I was thinking, Yom Kippur, and I looked, I found that it's an inyan of Bimaski, the S'chus of Asara Rugi Malchus. The S'chus of Asara Rugi Malchus, maybe. Or I was thinking, I found also there's Psasan Nusach in some of the Rishonim, that the Pshat is, you know, we want Kaparas Avoinus. Hanging over our head was Mechiras Yosef. That's a big sin. So we mentioned that there was a Kapara. We mentioned there was a carbon brought for that Sarugi Malchus. Okay? I'm trying to understand why they become the Minig Bi Israel to say Sarugi Malchus on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. What's the Shaykhus? Now, Mechiras Yosef, I hear, has to do with Tisha B'Av. Because if all the Golosin are all based on Golos Mitzrayim, which was based on Mechiras Yosef, okay, so we mentioned on Tisha B'Av Asarig and Malchus, because ultimately that was the beginning of Golos. Mechiras Yosef. But Yom Kippur, what does it have to do? And we said, so could be Yom Kippur, S'chusiv, S'chusiv Asarig and Malchus, Yom Kippur, maybe we have to show that we have a Kapara for the Avera of Mechiras Yosef. I would say pshats like this according to what we learned. You ready? You ready? Pshats like this. You know what Mechiras Yosef was? Pirud. Lack of Achdus. You know what Asar Arugi Malchus showed? Meridik Achdus. It's brought down clearly that each Tana didn't want to die before the other one. Okay, he wanted to die before the other, the opposite. He wanted to, take me first. I wish I didn't have to see it. I wish I didn't have to. And then he would take the head of the Tana and kiss it. That was a tikkun. The Mechiras Yosef, the Asare Rugi Malchus was a tikkun. They went and they showed what Torah, ten Tanoim, how united and how close they were. Bring this out on Rosh Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Tisha B'Av we know was Sinas Chinam. So we bring out Mechiras Yosef. There was Sinas Chinam, but there was a tikkun. Look at the Asare Rugi Malchus. Yom Kippur is B'Lei V'Echad. The Ki'il She'echad is on Tisha B'Av. The B'Lei V'Echad is on Yom Kippur. We ask Mechila from each other. Why do we ask Mechila? The Rishayim explain, because Yom Kippur is a time where Klal Yisrael has to be V'Nislach L'Chal Adas Yisrael V'Lager Agar B'Soichem Ki L'Chal Am United. And that's why we ask Mechila, B'Lei, Tainus, complaints, because it has to come to Yom Kippur, right? B'Lei. Like it says in the Pasuk over there, right? Mi Matayr Eschem Avichem Shebashamayim. What is Tahayra? Tahayra is Balev, it's in the heart. It's in the heart. Tahayra, purity. So Klal Yisrael has to unite Balev Echad. So when the Ki'ish Echad needs Tikkun, and the Balev Echad, we mention Asare Rugi Malchus. Because this was the ultimate Tikkun for the Sinas Chinam that happened in Mechiras Yosef, which was that they didn't understand first at the beginning the Ki'ish Echad, what it means to have Yosef. And then even when they understood, my bet, so we can't kill him because we need him alive, but they didn't understand the B'lei V'Echad. So the Tikkun becomes the Asar Arugei Malchus, where 10 of the giants of Klal Yisrael fought to be killed before the other, not to see the Misa, and how they bemoaned and how they suffered with the suffering and torture and Misa of their chaver, of their neighbor, of their Tana friend. That was the Tikkun. That was the Tikkun from Mechiras Yosef. So Tisha B'Av, when we know Sinas Chinam, is the avoidah that we have to uproot the Sinas Chinam. We mentioned Asar Rugi Malchus. And Yom Kippur, where it's the B'Lev Echad. We have to work on the B'Lev, the inner, the Tahaira, the fact that each is Meichel the other, to make Ki L'Chalam Bishkaga, that the Klal Yisrael is one. V'Nislach Chal Adas Yisrael. You know what Adas means? Adas means when they come to Evad. V'Nislach L'Chal Adas Yisrael. What does the word Adas mean? Vad. Vad means joined together. Adas Yisrael. Congregation, congregant, means to congregate, to come together. Klal Yisrael Yom Kippur must come together. And so we mention the Asare Arugei Malchus. Let us talk to Bizoicha. That we should come together, Achtos, and this will be the ultimate Mashiach. Mashiach ben Yosef has to do with these Yisoides also, like we spoke. Mitzvah Shem Chanukah is coming. Chanukah is all about Mashiach ben Yosef, as we will speak. Right, Mashiach Yosef is the Yisoides of Chanukah. And let's talk about Zoicha to Geula v'Yeshua in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim. B'mehir b'yameinu, amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.